Our first lesson is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two, they covered their faces, and with two, they covered their feet, and with two, they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
That brings us to our third lesson this morning. And this was not part of the lectionary, but it just seemed like an appropriate scripture text to have after that story. It comes from the very end of the book of Joshua. And it's some of Joshua's final words to the Israelites after they have conquered the promised land and have moved in. And this is Joshua talking. "Now therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods of your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you're unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." The word of God. All three of our scripture lessons deal with people and the receiving a call or responding to a call from God. We had the prophet Isaiah, who had this vision of seeing the Lord high and lifted up and exalted, and his response being, "Woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips, and of a people of unclean lips. And he knew he was not, should not be in the presence of God. He was not good enough. But then the coal was put on his mouth and he was forgiven, and God called him to serve. And to be honest, he had a difficult call to preach to the Israelites and tell them things that they did not want to hear and things that they would not listen to. And then we had the story of Peter and Andrew and James and John, the fishermen. And they had fished all night and not caught anything. And then Jesus tells them to put back out, and they didn't want to. And they received this huge catch of fish. And Peter responds with, "Lord, go away. I'm a sinful person." But Jesus responded, "Come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of people." And those four men responded and became disciples of Jesus. This one I just read is a little bit different than the others, because this was coming at the end of Joshua's life, not at near the beginning. And so perhaps this one speaks more to us today, because looking out amongst you, more of you are toward the second half of life than the first half. And Joshua is at that point in his life. But Joshua had been following the Lord for perhaps his whole life long. He would have been one of the Egyptian slaves that was with Moses when they did the Exodus out of Egypt and they crossed through the Red Sea. He was one of the 12 spies that Moses sent out to explore the promised land when they got near it, to find out what kind of land this is that God has promised us. And so these 12 spies went out, and they saw that the land was great, wonderful, beautiful, that the soil was good for growing crops, and that there was plenty of water, both things they didn't have in the wilderness. But they also saw that the people that lived there were big and strong, and they lived in fortified cities. And so when they reported back, 10 of them said, "It's great land, but the people are too big, too strong. We can't defeat them." Now, Joshua and Caleb, they said, "Hey, the land is great. It is really good. And God can deliver us. God can give us this land. We should go right now and take it." Well, the crowd listened to the 10 and not to the 2. And the result of that was they ended up spending 40 years there in the wilderness, until all those who were the ones that had crossed over across the Red Sea were no longer alive. And the next generation was the one that would get the promised land, all except for Joshua and Caleb, who had come out from Egypt. They were allowed to live. Now, this is a bad thing. I've been inspired by these bell ringers and their story, and it makes me want to teach you a song that I teach the preschool every year. So when you got up this morning and you got out of bed saying, "All right, I'm going to church," if you had known that I was going to be singing a song to you, you might have just rolled back over and stayed in bed. But here it comes. I'm going to teach you the words and the motions. You have to do the motions. And then, Lord help you, I'm going to sing it. And then you're going to sing it, hopefully drowning me out. But the song goes like this. 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad, 2 were good. What do you think they saw in Canaan? 10 were bad, 2 were good. Some saw giants big and strong. Some saw grapes with clusters long. Some saw God was in it all. And then you have to be real fast with this. 10 were bad, 2 were good. All right, I saw a few folks doing the motions. I want to see all of you doing the motions. This 10, we're bad. 2, we're good. All right, that's the main one, the giant, the grapes, and the spying. You can do all that. All right, Lord, help us all now. 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad, 2 were good. What do you think they saw in Canaan? 10 were bad, 2 were good. Some saw giants big and strong. Some saw grapes with clusters long. Some saw God was in it all. You ready? 10 were bad, 2 were good. All right, your turn to sing it with me. All right, you got my back, don't you? All right, let's go. 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad, 2 were good. What do you think they saw in Canaan? 10 were bad, 2 were good. Some saw giants big and strong. Some saw grapes with clusters long. Some saw God was in it all. You ready? 10 were bad, 2 were good. You know, I'm hoping that the recording of this sermon didn't take place. Otherwise, my singing will be on the internet. It'll probably go viral and not for other good reasons. There's much that we need to learn from this story. The 12 men that were chosen were all able-bodied men, capable men. They were technically right for this job. But being technically right did not necessarily prove to be what they needed. They needed visionary leaders. That's what Caleb and Joshua were. They saw beyond the obstacles and saw the opportunity. And we in the church today need that type of leadership, because it's very easy to look and see all the obstacles but not see the opportunities. It's easy to look out into our society and see that church attendance is down. Now, a lot of folks don't go to church anymore. And we can just say, well, they don't want to come, so we don't bother to go out. We can look at the obstacle of age. We're getting old. We've done that. We don't need to do it again. And we just become kind of self-absorbed. Or we say, money. We just don't have very much anymore. And what we have, we need to hold on to tightly so that we can keep the doors open. All these are obstacles. The opportunity is that this is God's church, and the head of this church is the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And God is calling us to be disciples, to follow him and to take this message out into the world. And we need to look beyond those obstacles and see the opportunities and follow Joshua's example. Joshua not only was one of the spies, he became the general that Moses entrusted with the army. He became Moses' personal aide. And then when Moses was at the end of his life and the people were ready to cross the Jordan River and to take the land that God had promised, God handed the mantle of leadership over to Joshua. And we've heard the story of the story of Jericho, and they continued to go into the land and conquered the land and took it over. And then there at the end, Joshua's an old man, and he says, today you need to choose. You need to choose who you're going to follow. Are you going to follow the God of the Egyptians? The ones that we just escaped from? You want to follow them? You want to follow the God of the Amorites, the people we just conquered? You think their God's going to be good? Or are you going to follow the Lord, the one true God, who has brought us from the land of Egypt and given us this promised land? Who are you going to follow? You need to decide today. And he says, as for me and my household, we will follow the Lord. Each generation needs to make this decision. Who will we follow? And I'm not going to pretend to speak for you, but as for me, and I think I can speak for my wife, we will follow the Lord. Amen.